yeah. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Sailor Jerry podcast. My name is Matt Cothran, and I am still your host. Word on the street is that the podcast is coming correct. So thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you for all the likes and the subscribes and the reviews. Make sure to keep spreading the word. Tell your friends, tell your enemies what we're doing here on the airwaves. Now, it's officially February, aka the best month of the year. We celebrate Black History in February. We got Groundhog Day, Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, my birthday. I actually jumped online for a second, trying to remember everything that happened in February, because I remember going to school as a kid. I always loved February because there were so many days off, mostly because the president's birthdays, I think. You know, but it's like I looked it up and it's completely insane. They got something for every day. February 1st is National Freedom Day, National Dark Chocolate Day, National Serpent Day, National Baked Alaska Day, and National Get Up Day. You just gotta get up. February 2nd, of course, is Groundhog Day, but it's also National Tater Tot Day and National Ukulele Day. February 3rd, National Missing Persons Day, National Carrot Cake Day. And as if that wasn't enough, it's also National Golden Retriever Day. February 4th, USO Day, World Cancer Day, and National Homemade Soup Day. February 5th, the National Weather Person's Day. Now that alone might be exhausting, but the list goes on, ladies and gentlemen. February 6th is National Lame Duck Day, Pay a Compliment Day, and National Frozen Yogurt Day. It gets worse. February 7th, National Send a Card to a Friend Day, National Fettuccine Alfredo Day, gross, National Bubblegum Day, pointless. February 8th, National Kite Flying Day, and Read in the Bathtub Day. February 9th, the day everyone can get behind us, National Pizza Day. Feels like they're at least one of those every month. February 10th, National Umbrella Day. National Clean Out Your Computer Day. February 11th, National Inventors Day. National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. Is this real? February 12th, of course, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. February 13th, World Radio Day, National Tortellini Day, and my birthday, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be turning 69 this year. Hey, yo. And of course, February 14th is not only National Organ Donor Day, but it is Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen. Valentine's Day is a very polarizing day for a lot of people. You're in love. You're probably going to celebrate, take some time to appreciate what you got. You're not in love. Maybe you take some time to appreciate that. Maybe take some time to appreciate yourself and everything you got going on that's positive in your life. But maybe it's not all positive. Maybe you have one big regret on Valentine's Day. And maybe that regret is a tattoo of your ex. Now, for those of you out there who got a tattoo of your ex, Sailor Jerry is running the most amazing Valentine's Day contest, where they are offering one person the chance to cover up their tattoo with an iconic Sailor Jerry tattoo. Now, starting February 9th, all you gotta do is follow at Sailor Jerry on Instagram and submit a photo of your regrettable ink. Let's say, like, you know, Crystal on your chest, or, you know, Bobby on your ankle, or whatever you got. Send it in to at Sailor Jerry on Instagram and you'll be in the running. And you just keep an eye on their Instagram page. They're going to announce a winner on Valentine's Day. And you can get that mistake covered up. So props to Sailor Jerry for handling that and giving everybody a shot at redemption. All right, let's dive into the episode. Sarah Fable is a Finnish-born tattoo artist known for her original illustrative black work and infectious personality. Sarah is simply cool as hell. In this episode, we talk about growing up in Finland, learning to tattoo in Australia, and coming into her own in Los Angeles. Sarah also shares some amazing stories about getting her green card, camping with wolves, and why happiness is all about the little things. Brought to you, of course, by Sailor Jerry Spice Rum, 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell. Let's go! What's up, Sarah? How you doing?
I'm good. It was just like a bit of a, I made the mistake of going on my morning coffee run a little bit too late. So I was like, oh.
On your Instagram, you know, you could tell, you know, you do a lot of reading and you're very educated, because sometimes you'll just go on like a Greek mythology trip and just start, you'll rattle off like three paragraphs about some shit. And it's really, really interesting. Do you enjoy like kind of like sharing that stuff with people, you know, through social media?
Yeah. So a lot of my friends in music, and to say I'm a bit of an alien when it comes to popular culture, and especially living in LA, I feel like often the conversation topic goes into like talking about people and kind of like celebrity gossip. And I just don't really, I don't find that interesting. And I think it's also a bit of a cultural disconnect coming from Finland and then being in Australia, where we don't really have that same kind of like who said what, who's dating who kind of culture. So to me, like, I wake up in the morning, I read like science articles, technology, and then I go into these crazy rabbit holes with it. So, yeah, like 2020, like my tattoo shop that I own has been closed for 10 months. So it's like it's been a different set of routines through that. So definitely I wish more people were into like obscure facts and stories and news articles, and that's kind of the stuff that I like reading and having a conversation about, because it's just exciting and weird.
No, yeah, I back that 100%. You know, I think that's one of the things that people, you know, really, really love about you, is you have so much depth as a person. And I think growing up in Finland had a lot to do with that. I wanted to ask, you know, Bronx went to Helsinki in 2011, right? we played Club Nosturi, I think it was.
Nosturi. So funny thing is, I lived like all the entire time I lived in Helsinki, I lived 5 minute walk from Nosturi.
No way. Yeah, that it was a really amazing night. It was like, and it was funny too, because, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, as we were going through the tour, you know, you go through Sweden, and obviously Sweden, you know, it gets, you know, it gets a little isolated in parts, but when you're touring in a band and stuff, you don't really see that. But so we go through Sweden, and then you go through Norway, and as you go through Norway, it gets just like a little bit more, you know, what you would expect, you know, small villages and like a little bit more isolated. And then by the time we got to Finland, we were just like, where the fuck are we? It was amazing, but it felt so, so far away from like everything else. And so, I mean, it was so beautiful and so cool, but I just can't imagine, like, what was it like growing up there?
First of all, what time of the year did you guys go?
I mean, it was dark. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So that would be winter time, because winter, even in Helsinki, in the southern parts of Finland, we only get like 2-3 hours of sunlight. And then summertime, it's like you would go to a nightclub, and by the time you leave at 3 a.m., the sun's already back up.
Oh.
So you definitely would have been in the winter. Yeah, growing up, it's just so different. I really value my roots coming from there. I was like an awkward kid who like wore camo everywhere. Like, and not like a cool, like, not like cool LA camo. I mean,
like, dorky camo.
I mean, like, you go to the military surplus and you find like the smallest men's like baggy outfit, and I'm like a little kid just like in the forest with my dog, just like, yeah. But I think Finland in general is more like woodsy, and it's funny, when Corona happened, like I talked to my mom and dad like almost on a daily basis, and the numbers for Finland are extremely low, and in America they're like, oh, you gotta stay 6 feet away. And in Finland, it's a common joke that 6 feet away still means that you're closer than you would normally be to a fellow Finnish person. Because we as a culture just have this like our bubble and our distance, even physically away from other people, is so much extreme than with Americans that are like, you guys are like, how would I explain it? Did you notice any of that? Like Finnish people being like, extremely shy and like timid, and then you get a little bit of like vodka and beer in you, and they're just like the most bubbliest, like the whole, all of the concentration of communication gets like bursted out.
No, yeah, for sure. It was an amazing experience being there, and I've always wanted to go back. I'm hoping that that one day we can. And that's awesome to hear that that numbers are down there. I was wondering what it was like, and that's cool. You talk to your parents on a daily basis. Are they doing all right out there?
Yeah, they're just, so I speak to them for like an hour a day. And for the past 3 years, even before Corona, it's mainly my dad showing like security camera footage of squirrels in his yard. And now they've named all the rabbits and squirrels. So it's just like, I wouldn't say it's boring, because it's how we communicate. So it's very uneventful watching of like grainy black and gray footage of rabbits in the yard.
That is amazing. That's super unique. That sounds like an awesome family dynamic. So growing up in Finland, how did you kind of discover art? When did you start to draw and all that good stuff?
I was like always the geeky, nerdy kid. I guess I just liked hanging out in the woods with my dog and coming home and just drawing. And my dad always used to say, I used to draw vampires with giant tits. 8 years old, which is weird because like I don't tattoo women. You would think I would be one of those tattoo artists that do like hot chicks, but I don't, like, that's not at all my style, but apparently that was my thing as a kid. And yeah, I always liked it. And I actually studied to be an art teacher. So I graduated from the Aalto University of Helsinki as an art teacher, and I did special needs teaching. And then I ended up in Australia and kind of gave all of that up and just kind of did whatever. Had those crazy wild 20s where you just work whatever you get and
yeah,
do whatever.
How was being a teacher? That's pretty crazy.
I loved it. I worked in this like really rough neighborhood, and I had my own workshop. So let's say, so in Finland, you would have the primary school from grades 1 to 9. And in my workshop, if your kid was causing trouble during a regular day, the teacher would tell them to go to my workshop. So I would have all grades from 1st grade to 9th grade, every single subject, all kids that were just causing havoc in the classroom. And I already had all my tattoos. Like, our math teacher in our school had like dreads up to his knees. And like, in the teacher's lounge, we would compare stories about our tattoos and stuff. Like, Finland is so much more chill when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But I loved it. The kids like thought I was cool, so they didn't really want to like rebel against me. Like, what are you going to rebel against me? I've most likely done it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have some pointers on that. It's like, the whole point of kids rebelling is them to shock and be like, your parents to be like, oh my goodness. Like, so, but if you are that person, then how do you rebel against that?
So you, did you finish school in Australia? Did I read that?
No, I went into exchange studies for a year, and that's kind of how I ended up in there first. And then I went back to Finland and then just kind of didn't culturally fit in anymore.
Yeah.
All my friends that I made the year after coming back to Finland were actually immigrants, a lot of Americans and Italians. Like, I would say, like, majority of my friends at that time were Americans living in Finland. And so it kind of just seemed, I don't know, the best option just to move out. And I moved back to Australia. And that's kind of like when I met you and Jorma and everybody, when you guys were touring in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. And that's, is that when you started tattooing? Was in Australia?
Yeah, yeah. But that wasn't until like maybe a couple years after that.
Okay, okay, cool. So how did tattooing start? How did you go from, you know, just illustrating and doing your thing with art and exploring, having your wild 20s, like you called it, you know? So how did it go from that to, hey, you know, I want to learn how to tattoo?
Well, I always like working with people, and I feel like in tattooing, even now, especially now in LA, you feel like there are the tattoo artists that consider tattooing as a customer service profession, which I see it that way. And then there's the tattoo artists that are like, I'm the artist and fuck you. You should be graced by my presence of me tattooing you, which is whatever. But I always like working with people, and I think tattooing was like best of both worlds. You get to do art, and unlike in graphic designing, where you mainly work on the computer alone, with tattooing, you're spending a lot of time one-on-one with people or in a group setting like a tattoo shop. So I just found the whole atmosphere something that I was drawn to. And one of my exes before I got my apprenticeship was a tattoo artist, and I really appreciate the shop and the atmosphere he was part of. And yeah, that's it. I just sent a couple of emails, and then my like first choice said yes. And that's it. Started my apprenticeship.
It's the coolest experience being in a tattoo shop, especially when, you know, it's firing on all cylinders, and you got amazing artists in there, people hanging out, sharing stories, music on the stereo. It just makes you feel alive. And it's something that I really love about getting tattooed, is just checking out different shops and just kind of feeling the energy. So I totally understand what you're saying there. What was the shop you worked at in Australia?
So the crazy part about Australia is that there is still like a big biker influence. Yeah. So obviously like the shop that I did apprentice under was run by one of these biker gangs. And so there was a little bit of an element of that, but the guy that I was under, his name is Daniel, but everybody calls him Sharpie. Super cool dude. He's actually a couple years younger than I am, but feels like a big brother. And he just kind of like, it was more like a little fun party going to work.
Yeah.
And it's cool because I went, not this Christmas, but the Christmas before, I actually went back to Australia to stay with him. And go and see his new shop and everything. And it's like, nothing's really changed. It's like time kind of stood still. And even though it was like half a decade since I had last worked with him, it was just like continuing from where we left off.
Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking a quick commercial break so we can refill our world famous Jerry Loves Ginger cocktails. If you've never had one, follow along. Here we go. One part Sailor Jerry spiced rum, three parts ginger beer. That's it. You add the Sailor Jerry to an empty rocks glass, you fill it with ice, top it with ginger beer, and garnish it with lime, or if you're feeling fancy, some candied ginger. That's it. Now back to the show.
How long did it take you to get like the confidence and just like, you know, to have your own style and like, this is what I want to do? Was it just about getting the experience and then kind of knowing what you want to do the whole time?
Well, I think because Sharpie did the whole NeoTrack thing. So 6-7 years ago, the whole fine line black work thing wasn't really a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, that's what I wanted to tattoo on myself. That's how my tattoos were already looking like, the whole woodcut thing. And the trend itself hadn't yet started. So when I wanted to tattoo that style, nobody really wanted to get it. And a lot of times people would comment that the tattoos looked unfinished because everybody just wanted to pack a bunch of color, a bunch of saturation, no skin showing. Like, that was the whole thing of, like, you didn't see tattoos as tattoos unless every single inch was covered with some kind of saturation. So in Australia during that time, I just didn't have the ability really to pursue it, especially being an apprentice. And then when I moved to US, I just decided to take the plunge and just be like, this is what I want to do. That's it. Like, there's so much more people getting tattooed here. Like, I'm sure I'm going to find some subcategory of people that are going to get into that style. And simultaneously around the world, the whole black work illustrational style started taking off. So I just was there at the right time, I guess.
You ever done a Sailor Jerry tattoo?
I've done one.
You did one? What was it?
It was like super basic, like skull with a like a hat and I think like a cigarette. Like the most basic you can imagine.
Hell yeah. What year did you move to LA?
Oh God. Oh geez. Like six? So the timeline is a bit wonky. I actually got deported from Australia.
Oh, you got kicked out, huh?
I got kicked out. That's how I ended up here. One of my buddies said to me, like, he was just like, I'm going to buy you a one-way ticket to US. And I came here and then I got a request from a company to go and film a movie. And I was like, oh, sweet. I don't really want to be in movies. That's not really a thing I'm really aspiring to be. I'm an actress or anything like that. But I had a contract with them that if I agreed to do, it was a horror movie. If I agreed to do the movie, that they have to get me a green card. So, yeah. So I ended up doing a movie for a green card. And
no way.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that in Eastern Europe. I did a horror movie playing a murderous tattoo artist in Eastern.
Oh my God. What is the movie? What is the movie called?
It's a bit embarrassing. It's not even, I should be proud of it. It's called The Parlor. And it was a really amazing experience. I learned a lot about myself and seeing, like, really realizing that I'm not an actress. I don't want to be like famous like that. And seeing the people that are super hungry for that LA, like Hollywood fame, seeing how much some of them would just really push themselves to become like big actors. Yeah, it was really a good growing experience.
Yeah, I bet. That's like, if you're not, I mean, that's like a certain type of person who just kind of goes all out for that, and you know, more power to them. But sometimes, most times, it's pretty nauseating to be around. But that is like, honestly, that's one of the most LA stories ever, though, that you took a movie role in order to get a green card. That's
amazing.
And it was actually crazy because we then, the movie got international, like it was in the movie theaters. And I actually, there's a horror film festival in Hollywood, like at Hollywood Boulevard at the Chinese Theater. And I got to, we got to open the whole festival with our film and do a Q&A like with the director from Evil Dead.
Oh, no way. That was that Sam Raimi. I think that's Sam Raimi.
I'm so bad with
me. Yeah. No, yeah. That's that's cool as hell, man. That's awesome.
But that was like a cool thing to say, like been there, kind of done that, but yeah.
So did you work, did you kind of work around at different shops tattooing when you first got to LA? When did you open your own shop up?
So honestly, I landed it in Orange County when I first got here. And yeah, mainly was like, I didn't have a car. I didn't get a license until I was 27. So I was like, okay, what shops are within bicycle drive distance? Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up with my first shop in US, and then worked there, and then opened my own spot here in Pasadena a couple years ago. And it's just me, but it's part of like a big beauty community. So like it's mainly hairdressers and nail salon ladies. And I think there's another tattoo shop now in the same community, but we kind of just keep to ourselves, to be honest. And it's been nice, especially now with COVID. And if like you, for example, tattoo a chick's like under boob, they can just be topless and not worry about there being people walking in and out. And it's just private. We listen to podcasts and music and talk about life, but I definitely think I'm going to let that space go and go back into working with a bunch of people in a larger shop eventually.
Yeah. Are you missing the kind of shop dynamic a little bit?
Yeah. Especially now that I don't get to do the conventions.
How did you kind of navigate 2020?
So my 2020 was like interesting because 2019, I chose to, have more of a work and personal life balance. And 2020 was actually that year that every month I took a week off to go and travel around US and find a place where I'd want to move to or do a convention every month or be more social. Like I actually scheduled that into my calendar 2019. And then the pandemic happened and all of a sudden I'm like, shit, now I have all this free time and I can't really travel. And all the conventions I was looking to do are canceled. I actually got really lucky to my best friend that now is my boyfriend. I let him out of the friend zone.
You got a promotion?
He got a promotion. He was like, he was hanging in there for like a year and a half. So... so that was really fun because he did live like in the same suburb as I did. So we did a lot of stuff together and he's in music. So we did a lot of music together and, just did kind of whatever. I worked like 3 days a week, which is what my goal was anyway. And then drawing and I don't know, it's been a kind of blur. Like, you know, there's a time like in 2020, I would say almost the entire year, where you're just so unsure even like what day of the week it is.
Oh yeah.
You don't know if you worn pants in the last 14 days or not. You're just like kind of in this blur. And then
I believe they call that 2020 vision.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you love about traveling? Hiking and camping, reconnecting with nature.
Well, we did a week-long camping trip around through U.S. Around Christmas and New Year's Eve. And we kind of just went this whole attitude towards, like, taking the trip as, like, surviving and, like, figuring it out on a go. And yeah, we actually camped in a rooftop tent in the middle of the winter in, like, 20 degrees for, like, a week.
I'm going to be honest with you. That sounds terrible.
In like, there's a city that we ended up going to that's called Cloudcroft in New Mexico. And it's around like 10,000 feet elevation. And My partner would drive and I would be on the maps looking at like BLM lands, like Bureau of Land Management, kind of to see like what areas can you stay for free and like kind of off grid. And we end up finding this plot of land in the mountain on the forest and being surrounded by a pack of kobolds in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere.
How was it, scary?
Not really.
No, you're all right with it now. So in Mexico, in New Mexico, you know, there's aliens in New Mexico, Roswell.
It's funny that you said that. I went to Roswell a couple of years ago and went to the museum and just like chatted with a bunch of people. And it is a very interesting community of people that go there to like quit their jobs and go full time to alien hunt or like UFO hunt. And have you noticed that UFO sightings, like this is another article that I just stumbled upon one morning. Did you know that UFO sightings are actually high at the moment during Corona pandemic? And there's been, it was like a 40% increase in like UFO sightings.
Yeah, they're it's popping off right now. You know, a lot of people are saying that because Trump made like a space force, that that's like a big sign that eventually there's going to be aliens that come to the planet.
I don't know what this space force is. Like, it just, it sounds cool, but it sounds more like, you know, as a kid, did you ever go to the laser tag? Like, I feel like if I open a laser tag, like fun park, I would call it space force. And when I think of space force, I think of like plastic laser guns.
Yeah. It's like a national laser tag force. governmental laser tag. Yeah, I can get behind that. I can get behind that. I don't know. I think, you know, but there was just like an alien sighting like a couple days ago, but I don't really know where I stand on all that stuff, but I do know that it's happening way more frequently than it used to. So it's got to account for something.
Yeah. I've been like looking at those articles and trying to figure out what those sightings are, and honestly sometimes it just looks like a kite with some glow sticks on it.
Where else did you go? You went to New Mexico. Have you done like Utah or anything like that?
Yeah, I've gone to Utah. We didn't do camping trip to Utah yet, but that's definitely on the list. One of my friends just moved to Vegas, and I've been wanting to do a little trip to Zion.
Yeah. I've never been. I've always wanted to go. It looks amazing.
There's like but the problem is like so many places are closed at the moment.
Yeah.
And you would think like the forest is the safest place at the moment just to go rummage around.
No, yeah. I mean, but it's crazy though. Cause I went, I mean, early on, I went to Joshua Tree and I mean, it was so fucking crowded. I was like, I couldn't believe how many people were there. I mean, it makes sense. People want to like, you know, reconnect with nature and stuff like that when they're stressed out and, you know, everything that was going on in the world and still is going on in the world. But I mean, I can kind of understand why they have to shut places like that down. Cause it was insane how many people there were. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Have you been doing like more of traveling in places like that? No, now that obviously, is anybody touring? I've seen some of my friends touring in like South America.
You know, they're hoping maybe in the fall, you know, but it's like realistically, there's still so much to figure out. You know, I don't really think anything major or any sort of substantial touring, you know, will happen until, you know, until next year, unfortunately, which is crazy to think about.
You should do a little drive-in concert. I mean, like in Portland, they have drive-through strip joints.
Yeah, I've seen some of that stuff popping off online. There's like virtual strip clubs now, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, and of course it's in Portland. I mean, that's just, you know, that's, if you're going to do it, that's the city to do it in. What kind of music do you listen to when you're either at home or tattooing? I know you listen to a lot of podcasts. Do you listen to a lot of instrumental stuff or what's the vibe?
So I feel like my clientele is very unique. Often that my clients come to get tattooed, they just want to talk about life stuff. So I have like an ambient music, like very spa-like background music usually going on. And then the room gets filled up with just our conversation, and people really want to come and unload. They come in tattooed and they unload a lot, and I like it. I'm definitely a person who genuinely cares and is interested in those stories, and I hear some crazy stories.
I bet.
Sometimes, like when I do like 3 days in a row with the same client, and it's like now we're closing into like 27 hours back to back to somebody. In those cases, I definitely start a podcast with them. So I've been going through a lot of podcasts, but I think I do listen to a lot of music, mainly when I cook. I barbecue a lot. I actually got into this artist called Teddy Thundergrass.
Yeah, Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah,
that's Love TKO. Yeah, that's a Teddy Pendergrass is the shit.
That is the kind of music I listen to. Like, I just make love in the kitchen. I am so into it. Like, my grandma got me into like Louis Armstrong and Ella and like very old timey, like swinging jazz when I was a kid. And I still love that. My most listened Spotify genre the past 2 years has been disco.
Did you see that Bee Gees documentary? Did you watch that thing?
No.
Oh, it's really good. I mean, it's like disco is tough for me because it's like there are certain songs that are great, but it gets so annoying so quick to me. It's like such a, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, this is great. And then like 2 seconds later, I'm like, turn it the fuck off.
Yeah. So I start sometimes with disco and then I get super mellow and then it goes into this like mellow, funky, I don't know, love making music situation. But that's what I kind of normally go towards. I'll go through my cranky moments, or like back in the day when gyms were still open, you have to have a little bit of like a little bit more aggressive gym tunes. But obviously that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, I don't know what world we're living in, but I want a refund. What are some things outside of music that bring you joy?
I cook at least 3 meals a day. Like I am the most mom of everybody. Before the pandemic, I was like the person who would organize all events, like dodgeball tournaments for grownups. We would do drunk playground tag where floor is lava. During the pandemic, we build a tomahawk throwing station in the backyard. I've been like doing weird things on my Hummer. Just, I don't know, whatever, like anything crafty, anything building.
The Hummer is a wild move. That's a early 2000s. Like that's a very specific purchase. What was it about the Hummer that attracted you?
Well, first of all, this Hummer is like stupid. This is like 4 miles per gallon of oily freedom, and it is loud as hell. It is so expensive to maintain because like there's one thing wrong with it every week. it's stupid lifted, so I can't even trust my own like gauges of how fast I'm going because of the wheels.
Oh god. So
it is like it had drop down TVs because it's like the luxury edition one. I don't know. I just wanted one. I don't really watch like drama movies or anything. I mainly watch only action or sci-fi. And growing up watching action movies and Hummers and things like that, like I just wanted a Hummer. Like, isn't that the American dream? Like, I have a giant 10-foot flag first thing you walk into my house, and then a Hummer in the backyard. And my English is getting better. Apparently my American accent is better. And my partner's from Texas, so I make fun of him by like trying to practice my Midwest, which apparently just like equally offends everybody from the Midwest. And I don't know. It's just, that's just my little, like, that's my dumbass American dream.
Right on, Sarah. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I guess, you know, to close it out, what are some of your plans for 2021?
Just to be happy. I feel like we're all kind of reevaluating what it is that makes us happy. And I realize this is simple things of people. and reconnecting with friends and genuinely creating those like no expectation friendships and just traveling, meeting new people. I might even find it in 2021, as long as every day I go to bed feeling like that was a good day. It's good. I'm so happy with the smallest things. Like I can watch fishing YouTube videos for an hour and be so stoked. Like I am very low maintenance when it comes to like feeling excited about stuff.
That's good. That's a gift. You know, that, yeah. That is 100% a gift, especially, you know, in today's world. Right on, Sarah. I really, really appreciate this conversation. You know, thanks for coming on the Sailor Jerry podcast. And I wish you all the best in 2021. I hope you get back in the tattoo shop. I hope you get back in nature. I hope you keep watching YouTube fishing videos and cooking all your meals and all that good stuff.
Yep. And this weekend I'm going fishing actually in person.
Nice. Well, have fun.
You too.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on episode 3. Of the Sailor Jerry podcast. As always, thank you to our guest, Sarah Fable, for the awesome interview. Thanks to you guys for listening. Appreciate all the support. Be sure and like and subscribe, and if you're feeling freaky, leave us a review. You can follow us on social media, at Sailor Jerry, at 213MattMan, and at Sarah Fable. Big shout out to Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum. You know the drill by now. 92 proof, made the old school way, bold and smooth as hell. Peace. Sure.